Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family. If you are new with us today and exploring the Beloved City Church family, welcome. Or maybe you are new to exploring faith, matters of faith, big questions of life and spirituality. We're so glad that you're with us. We are truly glad that you are here with us online in this moment, listening on the podcast or on YouTube watching today. Thank you for being with us in this moment. Hey, I've been praying a lot for you and for our church and for our church family and for those who are part of our circle of influence. And about this week's message, I truly believe it has the potential to spark something significant in the lives each and every one of you listening today. For this house, for our family at Beloved City Church, in our church household. If you're just joining us, and if you have missed the past week or two, we are actually in part three of a message series called Divergent, Different or Becoming Different from Something Else. And we've been going through the book of 1 Peter. That's where we've been exploring. This is a book found in the library of books that we call the Bible today. Books penned by ancient holy men and women of old who were moved by the Holy Spirit to write, to share, to record. And we can still and are still learning from these ancient writings today. And in partnership with the Holy Spirit, when we read them and we speak with them, they come alive. The living word of God. And if you might be a skeptic today or a doubter or like me, you wrestle and grapple with the tensions that we experience here on earth, that's okay. You are in a safe place to do so. No one here has it all figured out. And if someone tells you otherwise, sit with someone else next time. That's okay. You might find someone like me, someone like you that is here to learn, here with an openness to learn and a desire to hear from God. If that's you, would you say amen? Even if you're in your car, wherever you're listening from. And so what we're doing is this. We're looking at the book of 1 Peter and pulling out some of the high points in 1 Peter. And if I was to ask any one of you today, how many of you would be excited or overwhelmed with anticipation if you realized that God was calling you to do something specifically? I wonder how many would say yes. I'm completely in. I'm all in, Jesus. I want to know what God is calling me to do. And this is what I want to bring to your attention today. This is what I feel prompted to talk to you about today, about how God is going to call you to set you apart to do something that is divergent, something that's different or becoming different than other people around you. Some of you I know are just about ready to check out and turn off the YouTube or podcast and check out from this moment on. And that's okay too. You are busy. You are so busy. In fact, you're already thinking about tomorrow and Wednesday and next Friday and busy. Our host culture tends to wear busyness as a badge of honor, right? Yet I hope Holy Spirit will speak to you over the next few moments and nudge you to shift gears and to hear what he has to say to you today. Now, I'll give you a little insight as to how I study for my messages that I present. Especially if it's going through a biblical book study rather than a topical study. Normally, I'll read the book of the Bible in its entirety, sometimes even a few times. Then I go to commentaries, and if you don't know what a commentary is, it's different books that are written by scholars and students of the Bible. And they help preachers like me to learn something that I may not have known, which is historical context or whatever it might be. And as I've been reading through 1 Peter and reading through writings of commentaries and even critics, I've noticed that over and over and over and over, and over again, as I read, there is a common theme that continues to emerge over and over again. One of the things that I'm noticing is that Peter uses the same type of word many times. Now, if you are reading through the book of 1 Peter along with me throughout this series, you might also see that he uses this word, call, or calling, or called, over and over again. Now, let me tell you a little story. I don't know about you, but when you were picked out of a crowd or chosen out of a list, you got that job that 300 other people applied for, your student application at the university that, man, you weren't quite sure if you were going to be able to make it with those grades that you got from high school or whatever. I remember twice now in my life, in the past few years, in moments where I felt a tangible call to move away from my comfort zone, to move away from my home, to move away from my career. And we were in Edmonton at one time, where we used to live, and Pastor Angela and I were associate pastors at a small church plant. For almost 5 years into this church plant, we were offered the lead pastor role from the senior leadership. And we prayed and we fasted and we discussed and prayed again and prayed more. God, is this really what you want for us? Is this your will? Is this what you want? I don't want to do something that like this. It's big. It's a big deal, right? So I want to know if this is what you want. And we were down to the wire on making a decision. Yes, no, yes, no, down to the wire. The night before the due date of this, we're talking about almost a month in, I got a call that was a call from God. It was a God moment. It was a call from somebody I knew. It wasn't God calling me on the phone, but it was a God call. A phone call that was an answer to my prayer. An Angelus too. I hung up the phone and with confidence, I said to Angela, my wife, that was it. This is our answer. We are not to take the role offered and we're actually being called out of the area completely. Crazy, right? Something new, a fresh start. No longer story short, Angela, myself, and the Holy Spirit, we're in agreement with following an opportunity. This is a long story now shortened to BC, British Columbia, beautiful British Columbia. Oh man, a couple of years into our move, in this interim moment, we finished up some equipping and preparation time that God had given us. And we sensed God calling us to Vancouver Island to re-engage in church planting. Now, finding housing here in Nanaimo, as you already know, isn't a new problem, friends. We came over multiple times, so many times it felt like, to find a home to lease or to rent. Too many times it felt like we were sometimes a little bit frustrating, I'll be honest. The list of places we had planned to see was either all crossed off or there was nothing left to see before we even got off the ferry. Yep, a little frustrated, I must say, right? I remember asking God, God, if this be your will, I feel you calling and nudging us and drawing us. Would you open and highlight our next steps? In no way do I want to force something that is not your design or timing. Time goes by and we're talking months goes by. I get a call from a property manager who we had asked to help us. He's like, hey, we got a place that you might want to see in Ladysmith, though. I'm like, fine. So here we go. Let's go see this place in Ladysmith. A snowstorm and all on a Saturday in February. We come across the ferry again. We drive out and look at it. And it's a yes, 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 yes. We'll take it. I love it. Decent price. Application signed on the spot. Oh, there are 40 other applicants. Oh, man. Okay, God. Well, you good? We're good. We like this one. A couple weeks go by. Didn't hear anything. Nothing. Called, left a message. Nothing. Waited. Nothing. Down to the wire again. Finally, I get this call from the property manager dude, and he says, hey, I got some good news for you. How many of you love those kind of phone calls? I've got good news, right? Nobody loves the one that says, hey, I got some bad news for you, right? I got some good news. We had 40 plus applicants, many of whom really did qualify for this house, and we had so many good applications. He says, so what we did is we put all our favorite names into a bucket, and we drew out your family's name. Yeah. Do you still want it? Yes, I want it. That's a God moment, right? It was one of those moments that you thank God for his provision and the illumination of paths and doors. And God went before us and prepared that you cannot force open out of desperation. It's a chosen moment. See, whenever you recognize that you've been chosen or called to do something, it builds anticipation. You know, God's up to something, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do. It emboldens you. It empowers you. You walk with a divergent confidence because it's just plainly different. Now, it started with a call. It takes walking through a season of equipping, which you might often feel like it's an opportune time to give up and walk out. It's taken too long. This is too much work. This is hard. I'm going through things that I just, see, friends, a resistance isn't always an indication that it's not right. It just might be that God is drawing you and leading you through a season of preparation and equipping you for the season that you're about to go through, friends. It takes patience and trust and confidence in a God that knows and provides. Oh, it's so good. I want to show you today that you are called. You are called. You have a divergent calling, called to something different, friends. When we talk about calling, a lot of times people kind of wonder, what am I called to do, right? What does God want me to do? And here I want to show you three divergent types of calling that we're going to walk through. And we're going to talk very specifically today about the third one, okay? So number one, the first one, first of all, if you're taking notes, and I hope you're taking notes, friends, because this is one of the ways you use your other side of the brain to retain information. God wants you to learn some. So write down what God is saying to you. Because as soon as you have left the building and you start arguing with your spouse again or wrestling with your kids or trying to choose what hamburger you're going to eat after church, trust me, you will forget. I know you're forgetting what Holy Spirit is trying to teach you. It's a no wonder, friends, we keep going through what we are going through with limited change. We aren't growing and maturing because we're not learning sometimes, right? I can't stress enough, church, we need to be a family that leans in to listen for the Spirit, to hear what the Holy Spirit says, to write it down, and then to get really practical about actually applying what we are learning in our lives. Now, Number one, talking about calling, there's what some might call the eternal call to Christ. Christ calls you to come and follow me. I will give you eternal life, an eternal call to Christ Jesus. In fact, the Holy Spirit is doing a work today here in this moment and in this city and all around the world, winning people's hearts to follow Jesus, nudging and drawing people, creating a spiritual hunger for spiritual things in our lives, because it's God's will that no one should perish. God's desire that everyone would say yes to his extended invitation of life and love and hope and grace found through Jesus Christ. And when Peter writes about calling, he knew what it was like to be called by Jesus. He too experienced this. Now, if you know the story in Luke chapter 5, Peter was fishing one day and wasn't catching anything. And a rabbi walks up and says, "Hey, why don't you throw the nets on the other side of the boat?" And Peter's like, "What the heck?" Thinking, "I'm a fisherman. You go teach, rabbi. Let me fish." But he did it anyway. And he had caught such a miraculous catch of fish that he recognized in that moment that this is no ordinary man. This was a holy man. And Peter fell down to his knees before Jesus and said, "Can you get away from me? I'm a sinful person." And Jesus said to Peter, "Hey, from now on, friend, from now on, you'll no longer just fish for fish. Now you'll be a fisher of men. Come and follow me." This was Peter's moment for an eternal call in his life. Come follow Jesus. Jesus called Peter out of where he was to become a follower of Jesus, friends. This is what he does in our lives. He calls us out of our current life of following ourselves and our self-indulgence and following him. And Peter understood clearly that we are called to leave our own desires and to fully devote our lives to following Jesus. This is an eternal call to follow Jesus. That's number one. Number two, the second type of call is what a lot of people get really, really excited about. And this is deemed as a temporary call to an assignment. God assigns you a role. God assigns you to something to do. A temporary call to an assignment. You might feel called to a particular role. Maybe you feel called to study something in college. You might feel called to be a nurse or a teacher. You feel called to be a witness wherever you are, actually. You feel called to go on a mission trip. You feel called to a certain part of the world to go and make a difference. This is a temporary call to an assignment. Maybe you feel called to ask out that cute guy or girl on the third row at church because you love the way he or she worships God with all their heart. And there's actually no ring on their third ring finger. And you feel called to make it a date. Oh, and if you're obedient to God, who knows how he might open up windows of blessing for your spiritual life. Thank you, Jesus. It's a temporary call to an assignment, right? And is it okay if I unpack this for a minute or two? This is what many people will overlook, but yet this is something our God is calling you to in your life. If you're a follower of Christ, and by the way, that's a daily call to divergent value, to divergent faith, to a divergent calling. It's a different standard. Our God is calling you daily to live differently, set apart. We learned about that last week. And if you missed it, it's a big deal. Listen in on the podcast again. When we think of calling, we tend to think of the do. What am I called to do? And we think of all kinds of amazing things that will make me look great on Instagram and Facebook. But God always starts with the who before he gets to the do. Are you following me on this? How God is more concerned with who you are before he's concerned with what you do. Because if the who's not right, the do will never be right. God is concerned about our motivations, our passions, the passions of our heart, about our integrity. He's concerned with the who. The who will always lead the do, friends. God has no interest in setting you up to fail because your character has not grown yet, because you're not ready, because you're not equipped. He will always work on your character before he sends you on an assignment that you aren't prepared for. Oh, yes, friends. I like to say it this way. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. That's why at Beloved City Church, when you begin taking steps to be an integral part of our spiritual family and steps to start serving in your calling, we provide resources to help you to discover who you are and how you are wired. We call it Discover Purpose. We want you to know who you are before you try and just do what you do. This is an integral part of our mission at Beloved City Church. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. I know some of you are like, "I hate assessments." Get over it. Build a bridge, friend. Get over it and learn about who you are before you just jump into the do. So Peter, he was writing to a group of first century believers that would have been tempted to forget who they were. They were walking through some crazy stuff, suffering, I'm suffering friends beyond what our Western world knows. They'd be tempted to forget who they were because they were so hated by their host culture. If you think that Christians are hated in our part of the world today, I know they look at us as intolerant and all kinds of fun stuff, but it's nothing compared to the persecution that these first century believers were under. We talked about this a bit in our last episode, in our first episode actually, and we'll talk even more about it next week. But one of the things that their society, much like today, they had just had no idea who Jesus' followers really were. And when you read the scriptures, you can see that their misunderstandings are almost comical to us today. In fact, a very common idea that the skeptical world had about Jesus' followers in this time period that we're reading in is that they were superstitious, was one of them, that they were incestuous, which is crazy, and they were cannibals. What? You might, yeah, I know you're saying, what? Yes, true story, that they were superstitious, incestuous, and cannibals. Superstitious because they were all about these miracles, and so they must be magicians. There's so many things going, it's crazy. And Jesus was the chief magician, of course, healing everybody. And they actually thought that Christians were incestuous because they had these things called love feasts. Come to my agape love feast, my love feast. And who do you think came to the love feast but their brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Sounds crazy, right? That's how weird it was to the unbeliever. Like, oh, you're inviting your brothers and sisters to a love feast? Crazy. Okay, you guys are weird, right? This is how misunderstood they were. Then they thought they were cannibals because of the famous line that their Lord and Savior said, take and eat my body, which is broken for you. So here we have a world that hates Jesus' followers, can't stand them, wants them dead, completely misunderstands them. Sounds familiar, friends? Maybe people don't want you dead, but you're totally misunderstood sometimes, aren't we? When you live your life as divergent. But before Peter tells them what they're called to do, he reminds them of who they actually are in 1 Peter. If you want to know what you're called to do, first start with an understanding of who you are. And I want you to understand that you are exactly who Peter describes to these first century believers. Who are you? 1 Peter 2. And 9 says, Peter says, for you are a chosen people, you are a royal priest, you are a holy nation. Who are you? You are God's very own possession, friends. For those of you who are followers of Jesus, what I want you to understand is that you've been chosen by God to be in his family. You're a royal priest. Now, this would have had so much meaning to these first century Christians because they had tremendous respect for the priesthood. And now, here they are called the priesthood of all believers, meaning they're actually ministers of God and ministers to God, even though they haven't even been formally trained. They're filled with the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. So they too are called to make an eternal difference, an eternal impact in this world. But yet, they're not different alone, but they are different together, divergent together. You're not alone in this, friends. Part of a spiritual family, a holy nation, the kingdom of heaven. This world is not their home nor their own, but they're set apart, part of something so much bigger than themselves. They are a people belonging to God. Their bodies are not even their own. They've been purchased with the blood of Jesus. They belong to God. Since they belong to God, they also understand his care under his goodness. They're under his care. They're under his provision. And that is who they are. Peter, he goes on to say, as a result, because you're a priest, a nation, God's very own possession, as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Friends, when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. What did God do? For God called you. Now nudge your neighbor beside you and tell them, he called you and me. He called you, friends, for God called you out of darkness into this wonderful light, into his wonderful light, I should say. We've been called. We've been chosen. We've been invited. We've been set apart. We're no longer in the darkness. Now we're in the light. Our lives have been transformed and being transformed. We are not who we were or what we were. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone. Everything new has come. We've been transformed by the love of Jesus and we've been set apart and called. Now, what I hope you'll understand is that today is that when you know who you are, you will recognize what you're called to do. And the good news is that the skeptical world today that doesn't like Christians or can hardly stand Christians typically doesn't call us superstitious or incestuous or cannibals anymore, right? It's pretty rare interpretation. But the bad news is there's a skeptical world today that looks at followers of Jesus and calls us self-righteous, judgmental, and intolerant bigots. That's what we're called today. And that is the world that we live in. And what we get to do is we get to wrestle with that today. And yes, tragically, there are some so-called Christians who have rightly earned those titles, right? We understand, we know that. Everyone knows one. You don't have to look very far to witness this kind of behavior around us in the church. And yes, it is unacceptable to the body of Christ. It is unacceptable to the church. And it's a sin against God. You will see people who call themselves Christians engaging in hateful and spiteful behaviors. And this is the image that we are sometimes up against in our world. But this is not, friends, who we are. Not what we are called to. And Peter's going to say the same thing to those first century Christians, the same thing to us. This is your daily divergent calling to represent Jesus to a skeptical world. And here it is. If you want to know what you're called to do, let's look at a verse. And you'll know who you are and you'll see what you're called to do. Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and 11, dear friends, I warn you as a temporary residence and foreigners. Remember, here we see it again. This world is not your own. You are not from here. Therefore, you follow a different standard. I warn you, he says, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. What did he do? Live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Doesn't mean to blend in, to become them. It's live properly among them. Notice Peter didn't say right here, hey, first you have to convince them to believe like you believe. He says, what it says, we're going to show them. We're going to demonstrate what we believe by how we actually behave. We're going to live honorably. And friends, I truly believe with all my heart that in today's host culture, there are times that we will need to start by professing the name of Jesus. Absolutely. But yet so often, we have to earn the credibility. We have to foster the trust by treating people with love, treating people with respect, treating people with grace before we'll ever earn the right to be heard. We need to show people what we believe by how we behave. Because why? God's transforming our lives, friends. And that builds credibility. This fosters trust, builds a bridge to skeptical people so that we can share with them the love of Jesus in grace and with truth. In other words, before I tell you what I believe first, I want to show you love. Love of Christ in me and how I live and through me. And I believe as Christians that this is so important, especially today. Peter essentially has this real confidence. It's Godfidence or confidence. Just live righteously, live boldly. And notice, he isn't saying you have to just always be defensive, right? We get so defensive sometimes. And yet, of course, there are times that you need to be prepared to defend the gospel, right? And if you have ever been in a sport, you might even have heard your coach say that something similar, like the best defense is what? A good offense, right? Sometimes the best defense of the gospel is actually a good offense, which is practically an impracticum, demonstrating the goodness of God in the way that we actually live. Let it change your life. Let the joy of the Lord move your face. Yeah. Here's what I'm going to do as a leader of this church at Beloved City Church. Instead of defending and being in a posture of defense against armchair critics or whatever, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to say, hey, this is who we are. This is our mission. And this is what we're called to do. Rather than defending the accusations or trying to blend in or people pleasing, instead, here is what we all can do. We're going to lead the way with irrational generosity. Why? Because we truly believe it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. What are we going to do? Is to recognize that we are not spiritual consumers. We are spiritual contributors in our world. We understand that the church doesn't exist for me. We are the church and we exist for the world. We're not going to be known as Jesus followers for what we're against. We're going to be known for who we are and for what we stand for. And friends, this will be the best defense, which is and will actually be a strong offense against pushing back against the gates of hell in our city where we're planted. Peter says it this way, live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. And then in verse 15, this is so good. He says, it's God's will. And so if you're looking for what God's will is, what is God's will for your life? Here's God's will. It's God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. It's by the way you live, friends. I know, I get it. Sometimes we're too busy cussing out our neighbors for parking in front of our house or for that boss or whatever it is, taking up your spot, blocking my view. Come on, friends. Instead, build a bridge to Jesus and get over these little things in our lives, right? It's not just what you post on social media. It's the way you live that silences the talk of people who simply don't know better. So what's our strategy? We confidently and boldly share the love of Jesus. We love irrationally. We give extravagantly. We serve people faithfully. And we do it again and again and again, even if there's no payback, even if there's no return. And guess what? It's no surprise. We will not reach everybody. We get it. We won't make everyone happy. We won't be the church for everyone. We'll still offend and people will get up and walk out. That would be just arrogant to think that we're going to make everybody happy or that we're the church for everybody. But over time, with faithfulness and with consistency and with integrity, we will reach some. If we live uprightly, if we live set apart and divergently and in a way that truly gets the attention of our world. Peter goes on to say in verse 20 and 21 of 1 Peter 2, do you want to know what you're called to do? Here's what you're called to do. But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called. See, God called you to do good. That's your calling. To do good even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you as well. Here's what I hope you'll understand. There will be times when you do good and you will still suffer. These are Christians that Peter was writing to. They would suffer in ways that go beyond our understanding in the Western part of our world. You may not get the promotion because you're living boldly for Jesus. You may not get invited to that party because you're living boldly for Jesus. The other students in your school or your workmates, they might make fun of you because you're living boldly for Jesus. But you continue steadfast and faithfully to live with the love of Jesus boldly and confidently because it's the right thing to do. And you continue to do good even when it's suffering. Peter goes on to say that Jesus is your example. You want to know the heart of God? You must look to Jesus. You will find this over and over throughout the New Testament writings. He is the way. That's who we're following. And you must follow in his footsteps if you call yourself a Christian. What was Jesus? He was loving. He was gentle. He was kind and he was full of grace and truth. And he only offered truth, friends. He didn't try to blend in and deceive people. What was he not? He was never arrogant. He was never condescending. He was never ever rude. He was never ever proud. He wasn't defensive. He was never hateful. Who was Jesus? The sinless God, the sinless Son of God who loved the unlovable. He showed grace to those who were offensive and he pointed to a new way of living in this new covenant kingdom. And this is how Peter describes him again. Feel the weight of these words as Peter describes his Lord and Savior and our Savior in verse 21 and 22 of 1 Peter 2. He says of Jesus that he who too suffered set an example for us. He never sinned, nor did he ever deceive anyone. And verse 23, he didn't retaliate when he was insulted, nor did he threaten revenge when he suffered. He put and left his case in the hands of God who always judges fairly. He's a just God. Verse 24, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross that we could also be dead to sin and live for what is right and set apart. This is our Savior. This is our leader. This is our Lord, our forgiver and our leader. This is the Son of God. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is Jesus, the one who never, ever sinned and never retaliated when someone ever wronged him. Now, then Peter goes on and shows how we are called to be divergent, different, and becoming different than others around us. And we are called to be different in a way that you cannot even imagine, friends. Let's be honest. People who are not followers of Jesus, they too can do good things, right? Every single day. And yes, they do. We witness this all the time. I mean, I've met some people that really don't like church and don't believe in God, and they do really amazing good things still. Yet, what Peter's about to say, though, takes faithfulness, obedience to a whole other level of divergent. Why? Because what's normal is normally you may do something good to somebody like you like or agree with, but when someone hurts you, normal is to hurt them back or to avoid them or put them at an arm's length and walk away. When someone hates you, normal is to hate them back and talk about them behind their back. Normal is if you aren't accepted, I won't accept you back. If I'm not affirmed, you must hate me and I hate you back. When someone wrongs you, normal is to want to wrong them back. Friends, when someone is critical of you, normal is wanting to be critical in return, right? Offendable, but we can be unoffendable. Yet, this is what Peter says you're called to do. You don't just have an eternal call to follow Christ. You don't just have a temporary call to an assignment. But listen, friends, you have a daily call to live divergent. It's a divergent call. It's different. When you know who you are, you will know what to do. We're talking about divergent faith, divergent values, and today, divergent calling. And some of you here, you've been wronged, you've been hurt, you've been offended, and you're about to see an opportunity that you have been called by God to respond differently, divergently. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and 9. What are you called to do? This is it. He says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, what did Jesus' followers do? Repay them back with a blessing. Friends, do not miss this. Let it soak in. What are we called to do? We don't repay evil for evil and render evil for evil. We don't retaliate with insults when people insult us. Instead, we pay that back with a blessing. We give, radically give. This is what God has called us to do, and He will grant you His blessing in it. What are we called to do? Some of you can't hardly stand what I'm leaning into today, I know, but when someone asks you to go a mile, Jesus says we go two. When someone asks for our shirts, we give them our shirt and our jacket. Whenever someone curses us, we bless them in return. Whenever someone hates us, we pray for them and we show love. Why? Because we have a divergent calling. We are called to something different. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Here's what I hope you'll understand. You're on call. You are on call, friends. Will you respond with me today as a follower of Jesus Christ? And you know that you are chosen by God, that you are a royal priesthood, that you are a holy nation, that you are a people belonging to God. Therefore, you are on call to love when someone is in need. You are on call to give when someone has a need. You are on call to demonstrate love to someone who feels lonely today. You and I, we are both on call. I'm on an assignment. I've been called. I've got permission. I'm equipped for it. I'm sent. I'm going somewhere. I'm doing something of utmost importance because I'm on mission with Jesus. And something that is really important to point out is you have it in writing, friends. It's called the living word of God. It tells you who you are. It tells you what you're called to do. Read the word of God. Get into the scripture. It tells you where you're called to go. Friends, anytime the devil, Satan, tries to tell you that you can't and you're not important and you're not good enough, you must say, not today, Satan. Get the t-shirt too, why don't you? No, it says right here that I've been chosen by God in the scripture. It says right here that I'm a royal priest. It says right here that I'm a royal nation. I am a people belonging to God, and God has put me on an assignment. And not only do I have an assignment, the temporary calling, but I have a daily assignment to live divergent, daily letting the light of Jesus shine through me, daily demonstrating the love of God to those around me. If some older person on your street can't get their yard mowed, guess what? You're on call. And now you have a mowing ministry. Boom. Friends, come on. I'm on call in the mowing ministry in my neighborhood. If I'm downtown and someone needs a sandwich, someone's hungry, and I've got an extra $5, guess what? I just got called. I just entered the sandwich ministry. Why? Because I'm on call to meet the needs of those around me. I'm on call to love those and to lead those to know Jesus through the love of Christ in me. Nudge someone beside you and say, I'm on call. God, give us the eyes to see the needs of people in our world. Give us a heart to care for those who are hurting. God, give us ears to even hear those who need your love today. Friends, we are on call. It's a divergent calling. And when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Who are you? You're chosen by God. You're a royal priest. You're a holy nation. You're a people belonging to God. And our God has called you to a divergent daily standard. We give, we serve, we love by the way we live. We show up for work on time. We do a great, we pursue excellence. We do our best. We pay all of our bills actually on time. We pay others back when we borrow. We are a blessing to people. We are a voice of encouragement. We are a positive and optimistic presence in the office. We're not messengers of gossip and division. No, we are messengers of hope. We build people up. Our best defense is a good offense. It is a divergent calling. Will you pray with me, friends? Holy Spirit, move in this moment. Jesus, we thank you. Father, we thank you. And we ask you that you would empower your church to shine brightly into this world. Help us each to recognize, God, that we have a divergent daily calling in our lives. God, help us to realize that there's a big something that you've called us to right in front of us, an opportunity to be divergent in our calling, to show your love and grace in this world. And Holy Spirit, we want your power to respond to this divergent call every single way. So Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for us to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing our sin and our shame and healing my hurt and my brokenness, my pain. I choose to receive your extravagant gift of life today. And I ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord and the leader of my entire life, all my life. I give you all of me and ask you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me with your Spirit and help me to live the life that you actually died for me to live. Show me how to activate your word in my life, Jesus. Reveal to us where we can walk in the freedom of the Holy Spirit that you've designed us to walk in. Holy Spirit, reveal the areas in our lives where we are not responding to your calling to be set apart. These divergent callings, different from those around us. Oh God, thank you. Help us to align ourselves with your will and with your way and with your truth to walk out this pathway with you as the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer with me, friends, for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk this out, this exploration of who it means, what it means to walk with God, walk with Jesus. If you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by being baptized as Jesus commanded, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, let us know. We would love to walk this out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about God, first off, and what he has called us to do, to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus and making an eternal impact in our city. Will you take a step to partner with us at Beloved City Church? Help us grow the day-to-day ministries of Beloved City Church. Here is how. Join our Big Table family. Make it official. Sign up for the next Family Discovery Night, 1st of June, I think it's 8th. Discover what it means to be a family member of this local church. Join the Grow Team, friends. Get off the bench and get in the game. Let's score some goals against the enemy. Help serve alongside those who are servant-hearted leaders at our church. Work alongside a team here at Beloved. Let's make an impact together. And last but not least, friends, will you prayerfully consider worshiping God by giving with your finances, with your money, by giving financially at Beloved City Church? Help us grow a thriving and dynamic Jesus-centered church in this city in Jesus' name. We love you, friends. We're praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in a special way today. Amen.